Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we begin today's episode, I'm going to spend a few seconds telling you about our Patreon, where you can support the show. It's patreon.com/anewwinter, and you get exclusive podcast episodes, and you can donate even a dollar if you want, but everything you give will help me be able to spend more time working on the show. patreon.com/anewwinter. If you don't have the money and want to help, then great. Please rate and review the podcast, because that really does make a huge difference. Thank you.
Winter culture.
Hi guys, welcome to A New Winter, Cults and Culture, and here with me today is Daniel. Hi Dan.
Hello. Hello, and I'm really excited about today's episode, because I love talking about lists that round up a whole fucking year.
An end of a year listicle, much like a testicle, but in a numbered form.
One that you can lick.
Well, yes. And so today we're going to be going through our albums of 2019. Again, to clarify, this is not based on individual songs. This is based on the albums. So you listened to our albums of the 2010s. And yeah, this is our albums of 2019. And Dan, when I think about it, none of these albums were on my list of the albums of the 2010s, which is probably saying something a lot for 2019.
Same here. I don't think it was a red letter year by any means. And we were just discussing before the show started, weren't we, that I've got a sort of top 15 that I've made a Spotify playlist of, and we're just going to do the top five today. But I really struggled, even within those 15, to sort of rank them anywhere. They were all sort of good, but nothing really kind of stood out as like a real kind of like punchy, galvanizing album for the whole year.
Yeah. And Dan has kind of left his as a top five, but not specifically ranked. I have actually ranked them from number five to number one, because I spent time doing it, so I'm going to do it. So let's get straight into it. Dan, I'm going to listen to your first track, which is Surf's Up. And who's this by?
This is the album Surf's Up by Fat White Family. And the track that you're listening to is, I've forgotten.
I Believe in Something Better.
Enjoy.
Enjoyed that, Fat White Family. I did listen to this album a bit, actually.
as I've recognised the cover, I didn't actually realise it's called Surf's Up. And yeah, it didn't really strike a massive chord with me. But yeah, listening to that song, I was like, yeah, I quite like that, actually. It's a good one.
That one, yeah, it's got a bit of like a 80s, early synth pop vibe initially, mm-hmm. I think. Something about the way it's been produced. But the whole album, it's got a lot of different styles and tones and textures and everything. But I think it's their best album yet. I've kind of followed the band since the beginning. And like the other albums have a sort of like bit of a ramshackle, dangerous kind of quality to them. This is a bit more rounded and actually a little bit more professional, maybe. Okay. But I think it's to their benefit, and they've actually, yeah, really done themselves proud on this album.
Yeah, I mean, it still sounds like experimental.
Yeah.
But it's still entertaining, which I think is always a good, interesting balance to have.
I recommend you go back and give it another listen. Another few key tracks that you might like were Feet, Kim's Sunsets, and Tastes Good With The Money.
Okay. Yeah,
I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I could give it another listen. It's not going to make my albums of 2019, though, unfortunately, now.
Oh, it's just too late.
Too late. It's too blooming late. Okay, Dan, well, yeah, listen to my... I think start at my number five, and this is Twilight Sad and their album It Won't Be Like This All The Time. And this is the first track off the album, which is 10 Good Reasons for Modern Drugs.
That, yeah, that I was just thinking, we did a show, didn't we, a few months ago where you played some Twilight Sad, and I did think at the time, oh, they've got a new album out and I should check it out.
Yeah.
And I neglected to do that, so it's a nice reminder that this exists.
Yeah. It's a little bit different from like I can't remember what the title of that album was, but this one feels a bit more bolder, a bit more they've kind of gone a bit, not rockier, but like a bit harder, basically. And for me, as much as I've enjoyed it, it's kind of like lost that tenderness almost that I quite enjoyed about it. So instead of it being like, you know, I'm a bit broken, but, you know, I'm kind of, it's always kind of empowering, kind of uplifting, yet sad kind of music. This is kind of gone weirdly the other way, where it's just more like big empowering music and the lyrics feel a little bit broken, but it's not, it feels more like confident. And I don't know, there's just something that's about it that I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel, it's not quite hitting me deep enough.
The vocal like the was quite... like a plaintive vocal, there's a emotional weight to it, but the synths and the some of the kind of like almost like harsh digital kind of noise in there, it was, I thought that was quite interesting having those two juxtaposed.
It's a much bigger sound, generally speaking, across the whole album. I found anyway, but I'm just definitely worth having a listen to. But yeah, I preferred the other one.
It kind of, it makes me think of like a modern take on Depeche Mode. Like when you think about their mid-80s stuff, where they were starting to introduce, you know, some like harder industrial sounds into this like synth work they were doing.
Yeah,
with these like really overly emoting kind of like sentimental vocals and lyrics.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if that's what they're going for, but yeah, it's it's a lot harsher. It's the, you know, when you listen to the synths from the previous stuff, it's not as harsh as this. But it's, you know, whatever, they're mixing it up, trying something new or whatever. Great, cool.
Made me think of Shushu a little bit as well, who,
I mean, XIU.
Yeah, they delivered their probably like harshest album so far last year. It's not in my top five. It was in my top 15.
Right. I don't think I've heard it, actually.
It's harrowing. Yeah. It's absolutely harrowing. Right. Really, really grueling, grating right. grind.
Lovely. Sounds delicious. Right, should we move on to the next one? I've got to find it. I'm going to listen to your one, which is Trust in the Life Force of the Deep Mystery.
Which is by... The Comet is Coming.
Comet is Coming.
And I can't remember what song I've selected.
You've selected Super Zodiac. I think I've heard this already, actually, but I'm going to give it... Let's give it another listen.
Excellent.
Listened to this album before quite recently whilst doing research for this podcast, looking at what else was coming out. And yeah, I did like it. I was like, this is kind of right up my street, but there was some, it didn't quite make it into any kind of list. I think every kind of song on there, there's something that I'm not like 100% with. Like it goes from like, oh, this is really cool, and then it would do something and I'll be like, yeah, I didn't want it to do that. I just like how fucking weird it is, and I like the cover, and I have never heard of this album or who it is or anything like that before. But yeah, I'm surprised that you like it so much, actually.
Yeah, I'm thinking if I was pushed to pick one album, I would probably put this at number one, just because I think... with all the other albums that I liked, there weren't any real like new sounds, or there were a lot of albums by bands that I already like, and yeah. It was like not as good as something they've done before. Yeah. Whereas this band actually, yeah, they really excited me in 2019. I actually went and saw them. Mark basically, was like, I'm going to get tickets to see this thing, and I think you might like it. So it's quite cool because I didn't bother to listen to any of their stuff before.
William Fresh.
Yeah, and it was a really good show. Really cool, because they got one guy on the keyboards, and they got this really amazing drummer, and then this guy just playing saxophone. It was this really, like, bubbling, sweaty kind of, like, show. Mm. But I've been getting more and more, you know, over the last few years into, like, jazz fusion stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like it... you know, sits in there pretty neatly. But I like all the kind of like more modern synth work, and the drum stuff's brilliant. Yeah. What he's doing is really incredible. And yeah, you can't appreciate actually how skilled he is until you're seeing them play live.
Yeah. I can see that. It's a good shout. It definitely like really caught my ear, I should say, not my eye, when I heard it. But yeah, I didn't think this would be your kind of thing, but yeah, it's interesting it'd be your number one.
Yeah, just that's. I got in like a couple of years ago. You know, I started listening to a little bit of jazz and some, you know, like Afrobeat stuff.
Mm.
And from there, I just got more and more into like the fusion sound, and yeah. It's become like quite a big part of my listening tastes over the last couple of years.
Nice. Okay, well let's move on. This is my number four, which is the Fontaines DC Irish band. And the album's called Doggerel, I think is how you say it. And the song's called Roy's Tune. Enjoy.
Doggone. Tell me if this is true. That's Roy's tune, and that's from the perspective of the character Roy from Coronation Street talking about his relationship with his transsexual wife.
Mm. No, he just, it's not about, he doesn't play the character. This is just his favourite song when he was hanging out with the band. And they were should we put on Roy's tune? Is he still alive, that guy? Fucking hell.
Hey, love.
Yeah, love.
So yeah, it's not about Roy Walker then either. It's not about Roy Walker looking back on his career after he was axed as the host of Catchphrase.
No, it's about... I'm trying to think. Who was that guy? Who was that? Oh, it's not even Roy. It's something like, oh my God, that comic character that played football.
Roy the Rovers.
Roy the Rovers, thank you. Oh my God, that's going to drive me mad. Yeah, it's his team. He just likes it. This is what he plays to gear himself up for a match. Have a little, you know, have a little cry and then go onto the pitch and score a few goals.
Yeah, I can see it. It's an inspiring tune.
Yeah. But yeah, so what do you think?
I liked it, but it was a bit bland for me.
Right. So
I'm a bit too sappy.
Is it right? And I get that. And it's a weird one. So these guys supported Idols a year ago, 2 years ago, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of came across them. And they've got, I really like, yeah, it's very, kind of like what we were saying about the Wombats in a previous episode. It's very clean. It sounds like it's already slightly dated. But for some reason, I keep coming back to it. And this tune in particular, the first time I heard it, I was like, you know, whatever. And then I just found myself, it just kept going around my head for ages. And then I kept coming back to it. I just need to, you know, it's like, you've got like an earworm, you know, like I just need to hear it one more time. Yeah. And yeah, it just weirdly like stuck with me, like to a point where I was like, I was listening to it like three or four times a day. And yeah, it's not really got a hook. It's quite slow. It's quite nice. Very unobtrusive, yes. But yeah, and but yeah, I just really liked how like quaint and small and like I think as well part of it is like lyrically where he's talking about the fact that he's just got this like shitty little job or whatever in this kind of small town, you know, like working class kind of life or whatever. Mm. It kind of adds to this like weird sweetness, but yeah, just the way he kind of sings it as well, and with all the songs as well. There's a couple of them which are a bit poppy, maybe for my taste. But generally speaking, it's just got a certain unique sound to it, which I just really enjoy. And I think the fact that they're like young as well, if that makes sense, so it feels like there's an almost a naivety to it.
It's like a nice little folk tune, sort of vignette about one character's life.
Yeah, I mean, they're not always you know, they're not all quite like that. There's a few that's a bit more like, you know, rocky or whatever. This is one of the more softer ones. Yeah, but it's, I wouldn't even say it's the best track on the album, but for some reason, it's the one I always come back to.
Just resonated with you.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Affected you on a molecular level.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the nice kind of jangly guitars, his kind of, I like the melody and the tone of his voice. And I think it doesn't quite, feels like it doesn't quite sit 100%, maybe. And I think that's why I kind of keep getting drawn to it.
Well, an observation, both of your two songs so far have featured men with regional accents.
Mm-hmm. It does, that, honestly, that does do it for me. I think it's because as well, like hearing, yeah, right, so it's a shit example, but when like Biffy Clyro, they kind of hop from like American kind of sounding vocals to Scottish, depending on how they want to sound or whatever.
Yeah.
And I do, like, I'm guilty of it myself, but when it's like people get sucked into like singing like an American or whatever. And I think when it's like you're hearing them sing in their like, yeah, with their accents, that's just makes it sound a lot more interesting because already you're sounding different from what how everyone else is sounding.
What if you don't have an accent though?
Oh, you're fucked, aren't you? But then you do stuff like you hear, you know, I don't know, like there's things like, look at another lame example, like Libertines or whatever, but it's like, well, it's all kind of like a you know, well, that sounds a bit Liverpudlian, but, you know, a bit like a Cockney thing, you know, and like even with like Idols, it's a bit Cockney, but really it's a little bit like West Country, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're Bristol, right? I think, but,
Oh, yeah, that. Dick Cheney thing.
Yeah. Spread it. Why not? It reminds me of, did you ever see Christian Bale win? He won an award for something recently. Fucking hell. Oh, it was the Vice thing. What was it called? Vice. And yeah, that's right. And I think he won a Golden Globe or something. And he got up, bear in mind he's Welsh as well. And he got up and he was like, oh, fucking hell, can't believe it. I've had it. God, why can you believe it, love? And you know, when it's like, when sometimes you're around like Americans or something like that and you find yourself playing up your, because I think I've got, yeah, like I've obviously got a British accent because I have, but sometimes I find myself going way too much into like Cockney, and especially when I'm with other people, somehow it gets turned up a bit. And watch this Christian Bale clip, I swear it's the Golden Globes or something like that, and he's all like, "Whoa, fucking hell," and all this, "Oh, can't believe it," and all that. And it's like, what the fuck is he doing? And it's like, oh, because he's just trying to appear like, I'm British, I'm a Cockney person. And any normal British person will watch that and go, what the fuck is he doing? You know what? I'm gonna play a little bit of it now, Dan.
Oh, look at all of us. What a bunch of lucky buggers we are, right? To make a life out of doing something that we love, right? That's extraordinary. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of that for so many years. Thank you to my beautiful wife, who told me less is more. Say less right now. She knows the dumb crap that can come out of my mouth at times. I can sink and ruin a perfectly good movie and a so-so career in one speech. So thank you for that advice, my love. I wouldn't be working without her. And thank you for our beautiful children, Banana and Burrito. You know, they've given me a love and a soul that I never thought possible. Thank you to that geezer over there, Adam. He said, I've got to find somebody who can be absolutely charisma-free and reviled by everybody. So he went, that's got to be Bale in it, you know. Thank you, and for all the competition, I will be cornering the market on charisma-free art. What do you think? Mitch McConnell next? That could be good, couldn't it? Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration on how to play this role. I've got to look at this table and say thanks to everybody here. Megan, oh my God, thank you so much. We've made a couple of really brilliant, fine movies. Thank you for being such a film lover. Amy, to Steve, to Sam, all of the other actors on this, to Dee Dee, to Jeremy and Brad, to Waxman and Madeloff. And please, Greg Canham and Chris Gallagher, the prosthetics and makeup people on this. If they hadn't done their job absolutely brilliantly, I wouldn't be here. No one would give a crap about it at all. I share this with you gentlemen and all the crew as well. Thank you so, so very much. Am I missing anything, darling? I feel like I should... Who? Say again? Oh, I can't hear. There's got to be other people I'm missing here as well. I'll say thank you to all later. Much appreciated. Cheers.
Christ almighty.
Yeah.
Well, bugger me, what a beautiful diamond geezer.
I know, what's he doing? Doesn't talk like that whatsoever.
Doesn't matter.
Imagine it's like, you know, if he sat down with you at the pub and he started talking like that, you'd be like, what are you doing?
Is everything okay, Christian?
Don't miss anything, darling. You're Christian Bale, mate.
Don't call me Christian anymore. It's Bale, isn't it?
Call me Bale.
He said Bale, isn't it? All right, get over here, Bale.
Exactly.
Get in your wheelbarrow. Get them apples, pears down market.
And get Gold Globe on the way back, will ya? Near Gold Globe.
What a tosser.
Yeah, so weird. I'll play a little bit of that for the audience. Okay, I'm going to listen to Face Stabber, which is by the OCs, right?
Yeah.
And what track have you chosen? Oh, you've chosen Face Stabber.
Oh.
I liked this song and I liked this album, but I had a real problem with it sonically.
Oh, yes.
For one thing, it didn't really excite me. It turned into a little bit like White Denim in terms of it got a bit too wanky for me.
The album or that track?
Huh? No, the track I don't mind, but the album, it's just too much. By the end, I was just like, I'm done. But also, I just found it not very pleasant to listen to, just because, and I don't know if it's because of my headphones maybe or whatever, but the thud of the drums and all this stuff, it just, everything felt very like thud, like a dullness to it. And the guitar was quite bright, but if you listen to that kick, it's like someone like kicking a pillow, basically. And it's just like, it makes my head go all like, funny inside. I don't really like it. So yeah, it's a bit weird because I'm just listening to it going, just like get a bit of high end on there or something on that kick. Like it's just weird. It just, I don't really like the drums, just generally don't, yeah, they just don't feel crisp or anything like that. And so because he's like hitting it quite hard and fast for most of it, it's just like, ugh, God, it's really like draining me. It's really grinding on my gears. But, yeah, it's okay. Like, it's, you know, another kind of, not standard, the OC's album, actually, but I just didn't think it was their best. But no, it was all right.
Definitely not their best. Mm. And a lot of people didn't like the length of this album. It's 80 minutes long. And it's a funny mix of like, there's a lot of short songs like that one. Mm. And you've got a few sort of mid-length ones. But, you know, there's these two, there's one track that's 14 minutes and one track that's 21 minutes. And, you know, they've been moving away from that kind of like psychedelic garage towards more over the last few albums, kind of like prog and a bit of jazz fusion as well. So I feel like that's where this is now. It's more this kind of like proggy sound. But I liked that there are these shorter songs, like this one, Face Stabber, that just kind of like nip in and are a bit weird. But this one I think is like the most intense. I just like this as a kind of like kicks the back door in and shoves a face stabber in your face.
Yeah,
I didn't notice the issues with the drums myself.
Yeah,
I appreciate that they may exist.
Yeah, but I don't want to ruin the album for you if you listen back to it. But yeah, I did have a bit of an issue with it. Okay, let's move on to my next one, which is, I don't even know how to say this, Fenez, Fenness, and this is from the album Agora, and this is the track Rainfall.
Interesting piece of music you've selected for me there, and not the kind of piece of music that I can fully appreciate and enjoy in this rather sterile situation of being sat with my headphones on in my weird broadcasting cupboard. So do you know what I'm going to do for you, Sam? I'm going to download that
give
album
me money.
I'm going to put it on my phone.
Yeah,
and I'm going to go and lie down in the dark and listen to it properly and have the most glorious wank. No, I will have some kind of transcendent experience, but that's, I think that's the right environment for enjoying an album like this.
Yeah, good. Well, as long as you're not calling me like last time, that was just weird.
I'm on the cusp.
I don't need to know. I'm with my children, Dan. God's sake.
It's just so good. It's just so good, this Guns N' Roses album.
You're on speakerphone. I'm at work. Yeah, it's only four tracks, this album, but they're about like 11, 12 minutes each. And it's a bit of a journey. It's a bit of it's one of those things where you're just like, let me just, as you said, like sit back and see where this takes me. Mm.
Ambience, textures, soundscapes.
Yes, exactly. And I enjoy a bit of that. And this was, I thought this was quite nice. I think it's also, the problem you get sometimes with like ambient kind of music is that it does get a bit too samey. But with this, I feel like it mixes it up at the right points where it keeps it interesting still. So you're still kind of actively listening whilst not at the same time.
What did you find was the perfect time and environment for enjoying this album?
It's probably when, basically, when I put someone in the boot of my car and I'm just trying to keep chill, you know, before I get to the forest.
Well, so you hang around the car for, what, is it like 45 minutes?
Well, no, I don't hang around the car. I've already got the whole thing set up. I know what I'm doing. Already, you know, I've been following someone for a while. It's not a gender thing, you know, it's not just women or anything like that. I'm not one of those. It's, you know, it's men or women.
Why do you even make them identify themselves?
Well, I do. It's pretty dark, so sometimes I'm not even sure what I'm grabbing. And then that's got me in trouble a bit in the past. And then, yeah, there's a lot of screaming and shouting. You just play this album over the top. And, you know, everything's just that little bit calmer. It's quite nice. And then you play it on the way back as well, you know. It's good.
It would make a nice soundtrack for a Lynch film or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dark Lost Highway or something like that.
Something similar.
But what is finesse?
I don't know. I think it's literally just some, like, 50-year-old French bloke or something.
Brilliant.
I think is all it is. So yeah, what's next up on your list, Dan?
Let's have a look. Lord.
It looks like we've got Fishing for Fishies.
By King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, there we go. And this is Reels Not Real. Let's have a listen. Yeah, I didn't like this song. Sorry.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It Cherry was, picked that one for you.
Did you? Yeah, I didn't really like it. I was thinking this is quite Dan. It's very much a Dan band. But yeah, didn't really do anything for me, this track.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So this is one of two albums that they released in 2019. And we did do a track from their other album, didn't we, on one of the shows. Infest the Rat's Nest. I think you preferred that, maybe.
Yeah.
I've gone with this one. I preferred this album. It's got more depth, in my opinion. Although it's very poppy and breezy, and it's quite patchy. But there's a handful of songs that I really like, as opposed to the other one, which is, you know, a bit more. Like the concept there is that, you know, the music is this kind of thrash sound, whereas this one, it was a bit harder to discern kind of what the theme or concept was. But it goes through, lots of different kind of, it starts with like folky, quite pastoral kind of sounds. And then there's like this sort of narrative of man's progress towards his own destruction. And it gets more and more like synthesized until you end up with this big, like, neo disco banger, which I maybe should have played for you instead, but there you go.
Yeah, too late now. That's it.
They're dead in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. It wasn't scratching my bum itch, though, so nothing ever will. Okay, cool. Let's should we move on to
what are you going to expose me to?
This is, this is a weird one. This is J Som, and the album is Anak Co. And the track is Anak Co. And, well, have a listen and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, I really like that, and I will be investigating the rest of that album.
It's a very... What I love about this album is every track feels different, which is always a good sign. It from the beginning to the end of the track, I'm never really sure where I'm going or what, you know what I mean, or where I've gone. But the main plus for it for me is that it's a very intelligent use of sounds, and the production behind it is great, but it's very subtle. And there's little things that happen in the songs where I'm just like, that is an amazing sound. And you've used that very wisely, and it's only a few seconds, and then you're doing something else. And I don't know what it is about it, but for some reason, this was like an album that just shot right up the list, and it would actually have probably made maybe my top 10. It's weird because this is between the, this is number two, and it was at number one for a while, and then it dropped to number two only because the one that I picked at number one, I've been listening to more. It's a bit more easier to listen to, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It's not quite as like arty, let's say, as this. But as I'm listening to it again, thinking, I'm just like, man, maybe I made a mistake and this was number one. Because it's just a much more interesting album. And I think longevity, it's a bit more maybe inspirational.
You've put your money where your mouth is now, and you've made your decision. So that's it. When you get to the pearly gates, you're only allowed to bring in your best album of every year for the rest of eternity. So that's it. You won't be able to listen to this.
Fuck. Oh, well. I'll live. But I won't. I'll be dead. So
With everything that you said there. It was really, for an under 4 minute track, it's very compact. There was quite a lot going on, wasn't there? And when it started, I wasn't really sure where it was going. That nice vocal came in and, I kind of went on a little journey for 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. It feels like there's some tracks which I just feel like are going to just go full pop any second. And it doesn't. And it's really surreal. But, I would highly, 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 highly recommend people checking out this album and seeing what they think.
And what is an Anak Co?
I've no idea. This is J Som is a LA based DIY and bedroom pop singer. She's the daughter of Filipino immigrants, and it's just her basically. And part of that whole bit, I suppose, a bit Ariel Pink, then, isn't it? Really like bedroom pop, dream pop, and etc. But she's only 25 as well. Really good.
Yeah, really like that.
Cool. All right, well, let's listen to your... This is your final one then, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It must be...
That means it must be...
Meaning.
Leaving Meaning by Swans.
Swansea ones. I did listen to this album, actually, because of your love of Swans. But yeah, let's have a listen. So yeah, I did actually listen to this album, and it's a lot of a not much slower pace than previous iterations. Yeah, I did quite like this song. I felt like, do you ever remember I was going to do that They Rode West thing? It was kind of in this vein, or that was what I was aiming to do. I might still do it at some point, but yeah. And so I enjoyed it all. I think with that track in particular. For me, it went on a little bit too much longer than I actually liked, but I liked all the little bits within it. And it did feel, you know, I like that thing of it feels like a, you know, Western. It feels like epic and like, you know, opening out on a kind of horse trudging through the desert or something. and like the kind of, you know, the imagery that my brain conjures up when I listen to it. Yeah, so why does it make your album top five album of the year, do you think?
I mean, I agree with you on that track, and actually a lot of these tracks are a bit too long. I was a bit disappointed with the album, to be honest, but it's still, you know, good enough, significant enough to be somewhere near the top. I'm a pretty big Swans fan. But coming off the back of the last three albums, you know, probably one of the best rock trilogies of the last 30 years. You know, they consciously made a shift to try and do something different. And this actually, it feels like a kind of a step back, really, to the sort of sounds they had in the late 90s.
Right.
Which is still good, but it's this kind of like gothic rock Americana kind of thing, but you know, it's very well done, I think. I like the, you know, I mean this is one of the shorter songs, actually. There's some very long songs on here, but I like that they get that breathing space to develop, and then the layering of the instrumentation. It's all really nicely recorded with the vocals, and you know, like you said, it conjures up strong visuals. It's all very filmic and dramatic, the music. So just, yeah, I mean, a bit disappointing coming off the back of like three amazing monolithic albums. But this is still a pretty heavyweight contender in their catalogue.
Cool. Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, should we move on to my last one?
Your numero uno.
Numero uno. And it is, I don't really know, again, how to say this, Div.
You blooming Div. Where's Christian Bale?
Bloody Div. Exactly.
You booger.
Div, we should say, is a British slang for someone who's thick, I'd say. But it's D-I-I-V. I don't know how to say it.
Div.
Div. The album's called Deceiver, and this is a song called Taker.
Come
was really good. I really liked that. It sounded a little bit to me, you know, at first, and actually, well, throughout, kind of like mid-90s grungy alternative rock.
Mm-hmm.
But there was enough innovation to make it sound fresh and modern.
Yeah.
I really liked the vocal approach to the vocals, those hushed sort of multi-tracked kind of, it was very soft. The guitar tone really, it's really doing my head in. It really reminds me of a specific band, but I can't put my finger on it.
My Bloody Valentine?
No, I'm thinking of some kind of like, yeah, 90s alternative rock group, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that as well, yeah, it was a little bit, had a dreamy quality to it, didn't it?
Yeah, it's very shoegazy. That's kind of their thing. And the whole album is like that, but it all, well, not all of it, but like a lot of the songs have, they kind of like culminate near the end and it becomes like a bit epic, which gets a little bit much by the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sometimes I'm just like, oh, it's just another shoegazy thing. But there's always something that I find quite compelling or something that just hooks me in. And yeah, just overall, this was the album that I came back to the most.
Yeah.
And that I enjoyed listening from beginning to end. And it is very shoegazy and a bit samey. And this is why, like with the album before, Jay Som, that felt a little bit more interesting. But this is just more like I'm walking to work or whatever. I would rather just stick this on.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I thought that's why I was like, kind of deserves to be my number one, really. But yeah, their old stuff's really good as well. And it's worth checking out. And it's a similar kind of sound. But yeah, if it's your thing, then yeah, enjoy.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, definitely we'll go and check out some more of their stuff. Where are they from?
Oh, don't know. I think just American band. But yeah, it's worth yes, if you like it, just have a little delve into their back catalogue as well, because it's pretty good. Yeah, they're from Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, so
cool. Well, thank you for sharing your five favourite albums.
Well, yes, and thank you for sharing yours as well. What a lovely 2019. Nostalgia fest that was. What was your personal highlight, non-music based, of 2019?
I can't remember what happened.
I have literally no idea what I did that entire year. I had a job for most of it. I know that, not all of it, but for a good portion of it.
It's like 3 months ago. How can I be expected to remember?
Yeah, I don't know. I think actually mine was after getting made redundant at Disney. So right at the beginning of the year. Because as bad as that sounded at the time as well, it was finally getting out of Hammersmith with some money under my belt and just being able to do something new. But yeah, there was that Christmas and New Year's. But, you know, people might have been a bit like, they're in my position, like, I know what we're going to do, but I was like, I am free, bitches. See ya, mouse. Yeah.
What did I do? I had a good trip to Nepal back in January of 2019. That was a nice experience.
God, you love it there, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Can't get enough of it.
Just got back a few weeks ago.
Exactly.
Can't jaded get enough now. Of it. I was just like, over this.
Got family out there, probably. Secret family. So, Dan, what were some albums that didn't make it onto your list?
So, who else have I got here? I've got the other King Gizzard album, Hepatitis, little known band that I've been following for a few years. I think we've had them on the show previously. Yeah. Mac DeMarco and Chastity Belt, two bands that I've enjoyed over the last few years, did albums, but they weren't as good as previous albums, I thought.
I didn't know Chastity Belt did one. That's interesting.
Yeah, $75 Bill was quite an exciting new find for me. I heard about them just after they played a show in London, so missed that. But quite strange mix of some sort of like American folk, ambient jazz, and other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting sound. That I really thought about putting that in my top five. Tom York, I enjoyed his album, but again, I think I've heard better stuff from him.
Yeah.
I thought Kim Gordon's album was really surprising and very good. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. I like that, you know, at that point, you know, in her career, she's put out something that's so kind of unexpected, really.
Mm.
She could have put out a really safe, kind of like just guitar album, you know?
Yeah. She did.
Have you heard of Princey Pleasure?
I don't think so, no.
Some kind of like vapor wavy thing. I think you might quite like it.
Yeah, does sound up my street.
Shoo Shoo, I mentioned. Really, mm-hmm. really extreme, harrowing album. Quite difficult to listen to.
Yeah.
If you like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few look kind of like big ones that didn't creep in. Yeah, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Yeah, I listened to some of that and I didn't particularly think it was that great.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, a lot of people who said it's like so emotionally affecting. I think it's an album maybe that you need to just like spend a lot of time with before those nuances maybe resonate with you.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I don't know, I don't have the patience to dedicate that much time to it.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Pixies, who continue their sort of like slide down into the dirt with
yeah.
another sort of like okay-ish album, but that sort of doesn't really live up to the expectations of the Pixies' legacy.
Yeah, it's weird. We were talking about this before the show. I mean, it's like the whole thing of Pixies came, did their thing, went away, and then when they had their like, when they did their comeback, which is when I, you know, got to see them at Fee Festival, I think. And that was really cool. And it was like, okay, playing all the old stuff and here's a couple of new tracks or whatever. Okay, great. Then it was like, oh, we're still doing it? Okay, we're still making music. Okay, cool. And yeah, just with that album, I was like, yeah, you know, it's okay, it's more Pixies stuff, I guess. But it's like, this just doesn't feel, there's nothing like particularly amazing there or something where I'm like, wow, this is really, you know, this is cool. It's just like, okay, this is all like standard Pixies filler stuff, it feels like. And
yeah,
as you said,
stuff,
excitement's gone.
It would make good Frank Black albums, but he's put his solo stuff on ice and basically is channeling all his material into the Pixies project and just sort of like pixying it up with the kind of, you know, arrangements that you would expect, the loud, quiet dynamic and the female backing vocal and all that kind of thing. So it's yeah. okay, but...
it's kind of ruined old Pixies stuff. We've kind of talked about this before a little bit. Well, a little
don't
bit, it's just like, yeah, like, but, well, it hasn't happened. I think it's more like, it's kind of making me question the older stuff where it's like, is it still good? Because this is just sounds exactly like that stuff and it doesn't feel fresh anymore. But then, yeah. you know, the old stuff is better and obviously it's more catchy or different or whatever. But yeah, I've just not heard anything from them where I've been like, you know, wow.
The weirdness
cool.
and the bite isn't there, you know? That's,
exactly,
that's the thing,
yeah.
I think.
It's exactly, yeah.
Beck put out a really bad album.
It's awful.
And Panda Bear, unfortunately, as well. Innovative in the past. And, it was an okay album, but, you know, I really liked Panda Bear versus Grim Reaper and obviously, like, Person Pitch and all that. So it was just a bit odd.
Like yeah, I didn't hear it.
Water themed concept album.
Okay. Rich Keeble, a friend of ours, has released an album this year, by the way, which is him eating a curry.
Well, if only he'd snuck that into 2019, maybe it would have appeared on our list.
Exactly.
What about his Taking a Bath album? When was that released?
Yep. That was about 2 years ago now. So this is a sequel to that, essentially. And it's him unpacking the curry, eating it, and throwing it away. And I think it's literally called Rich Keeble Eating a Curry. Which is good. No, I should do. I think you can only get it on tape, and he's done it in a mango chutney orange. my telephone voice records, check it out.
That sounds excellent.
Bandcamp. Me and Rich released a static thing as well. And we also did a weird, at the same time when we recorded it, we also did some, I don't even know what it's called, like thrash metal, where there are songs that are only like a second each. Did I show you this?
No.
Yeah, it's noise. It's pure noise. Again, it's all noise. But I'll send you that.
So your 2019 honourable mentions are all your own projects.
No, I'm just talking about. Yeah. I'd like to honourably mention myself. the other albums that didn't make it on was Drala, Useless Coordinates. And I think you and me saw Drala.
Yes. Supporting
someone.
Ink or something. Yeah.
It was someone. And I remember thinking, this is weird. This is a bit kooky, strange, and I like it. And it's still a little bit of that, but it kind of grates on me after a while. It's always like, this is really interesting. And then after a couple of listens, I'm like, I don't really want to listen to it. Like, there's not, like, the interest is gone, if that makes sense. Like, it's like watching 1917. It's like, well, that's good the first time around, but I want to see it again. No, probably not. Right, let's just leave it how it is. Tom York again as well, I agreed. There's another band called John Times 2.
Haven't heard of that.
Yeah, they've got an album called Out Here on the Fringes, and that's quite, it's a bit punky, it's like fast, rocky stuff. But there's some moments where I'm like, oh, this is good. But as an album, just like, I don't really like it as an album. It's a bit too, by the end of it, you're like, it all kind of sounds the same after a while. Band I really liked actually was Chai. And they've got an album called Punk. And it's basically weird, rocky. It's a bit like, do you remember Go Team?
Goating?
Go Team, the Go Team.
Oh. I do, yes.
Yeah, so it's like they were like a Brighton band, and it was this kind of weird mishmash of different sounds and songs put together, and it's a bit like that. And Go Team also had like what sounded like schoolgirls kind of like riffing over the top. But Chai are like Japanese, it's a Japanese all-female band, I think. So they've got this like, it's always like kind of Japanese pop fun to it against these like quite punky, loud, offensive kind of noises going on. And it's really good. It's really good.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was in my top five for a while. But again, it was one of those things where like it's a bit difficult to listen to as an album because after a while their Japanese voices kind of get a bit annoying and it's quite loud and harsh. And there's only so much of that I can kind of take.
But, what's it called again?
It's called Punk, but in the band called Chai, C-H-A-I.
I will have a look at that.
Yeah, have a listen. I think they've got, I think a good song to start with is, I think it's like track 7. It's called like This Is Chai or something weird.
Great album cover.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. So yeah, it kind of plays into that Japanese pop culture thing. It's good.
Cool. I like this.
Yeah, a couple more. Floating Points album, Crush. It's a bit electro, chill pop. Kind of stuff. It's quite nice to listen to, a bit ambient, I suppose. And then a band called Black Midi. Have you heard of these guys?
No.
They've got an album called Schlangenheim, and I hate the guy's voice, but I really like some bits of the songs. So not necessarily all the songs, but they do. The songs change. There's a lot of stuff going on, and some of it I'm like, this would be wicked to watch live, and then some of it I'm like, this is fucking shit and I hate it. two more. Kate Le Bon, she's got an album called Reward. It's solo kind of songwriter stuff, but it's a little bit strange, and I don't think it's particularly that good, but it just interested me slightly. And I think there's a thing where like, and this has been happening for quite a while now, and especially when you get under the surface of a lot of like American bands and American music, where it all just kind of sounds the same. And I know that's, you know, it's kind of simplifying everything a little bit, but there's a lot of bands now with female singers, which is great. The problem is that it's very rare to hear like a unique female voice. They all sound like super sweet, if you know what I mean, or like they're real singers, proper singing. And that's why when I hear a female voice, I'm like, that sounds a bit weird, and I love it. I kind of hang on to it for a bit. And that's a kind of a little bit what Kate Le Bon is a little bit like.
So unique voice, shit music.
Yeah. I don't know, it's not shit. It's just not, it's not great. In my opinion, I don't know, some of it's right. Otherwise I wouldn't have put it, given an honorable mention. And the last one is, weirdly, we talk about Kim Gordon, is Thurston Moore Spirit Council. Which is like three songs. They're about an hour long. And it's something that I could imagine myself doing, which is just like, I'm just going to jam out some weird stuff for like 3 hours and it's an album. There you go. And that's basically what he's done. So there's not really any singing or songs or anything. It's just 3 hours kind of like guitar noise and drums and experimenting and stuff like that. I would be hard pushed to recommend it because it's, you know, tough. It's a tough listen in the sense of it's 3 1-hour tracks. But yeah, I would say if that Sonic Youth sound is, you know, you still like that and Kim Gordon's album is a bit too weird, then yeah, maybe check out Thurston Moore Spirit Council. Cool. Well, that was it. So yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And as always, you can go to newwinter.com, Instagram at newwinter, Twitter at newwinter, email us at newwinterpodcast@gmail.com. Dan, where can people bump into you?
Come on Instagram and look for Dreadful Discs.
Yes, and keep subscribing, liking, following, give us a mention on you know, iTunes or whatever, Apple Podcasts as it's called now. If you like the show, that's always good because that brings in more people. If you want to hear more, you can go to patreon.com/newwinter. And I've got some kind of exclusive stuff up on there, which is just basically me talking at you for an hour, which, you know, everyone loves. Dan can't get enough of it. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and see you on the next one.
Ciao.
You
culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.